know, when God begins a work in us, we don't always comprehend it. And I can declare to you that the Holy Spirit, He's a builder. He wants to build. The season we're in right now is a holy season unto the Lord that at one time was used by occult forces for their own glory. I mean, know that. But God decided to turn something ugly into something beautiful. And when the Holy Spirit began to prompt me this week, He was trying to get me out of the tradition box. How many know we live in a traditional box? We're not even aware of how much tradition is in us. How much He wants to stop us from going forward. And I cried out to Him and I said, Lord, what in the world are You trying to get me to see that I can't see? If a person is born blind, can they imagine the sky, the beauty of a tree, the smile on a child's face? You could explain it, but the only ability they have is with their fingertips. And, you know, when they pour their fingertips over the contour of a face, they begin to see by perception. It's the same thing with Christianity. There's a season of blindness in all of us. And then the Lord begins to let us use our fingers and perceive the realm of the Spirit. Christmas for me was all the traditions and all the things that I had learned. And began to be melted away by the Holy Ghost. And began to change me from what I had perceived to what He wanted. And believe me, there was a major difference between the two. You know, the bread looks like a knotted bread. It's braided. It's beautiful. And it represents to me the harmony of the contour of the dough tied together to become one. Inside of me, for years and years, I understood there was a soul and a body intermingled. Not understanding that there was a spirit being way down inside my inner parts. And my spirit could be developed and could change me from what I was to what He wanted me to be. I didn't understand it for a long, long time. I can remember the very first teaching that shattered some of my blindness. It was 1 Thessalonians 5:23. I can't tell you for how long God used that scripture to awaken me to what He really was trying to teach me. That I was a spirit being having an earthly experience inside of an earth suit that I couldn't even control. Anybody relate? I had a soul, a mind, will, and emotions that were giving me a wild goose chase. Did you ever see your soul take you for a ride? You got into an emotional high and You ended up doing something absolutely stupid. And after the fact, you get angry at yourself and you start looking at what you've chosen and did not comprehend that you had a spirit. You didn't even want a spirit. You didn't ask for one, but it came with the package. Just this past month, I was listening to a man of God teach, whom the Lord took into the heavenlies and saw the breath of God. Don't ask me the man's name. I don't remember and I don't want to, because then I might give credit to a person. But the anointing of God came all over me as this piece of truth became a reality. And I knew that it was truth from the heavens and the throne and the heart of God. And this man made this comment. He said, God took me into the heavenlies and I saw the Father, like a father figure, take a deep breath, and as he exhaled, all kinds of little tiny spirits were released into the earth, into the wombs of women. And I got so like, oh my God, this is so awesome. Every breath my Father in the heaven takes releases spirit beings into the heavens. And then they come down into the earth and enter and complete the creation. I got so excited. I said, yes, yes. You say, well, how can you prove it in the scripture? I don't want to. I say, go to Papa. Talk to him. How many of you have a heavenly father? Well, then, good heavens, talk to him. Okay? He's not unapproachable. He has a voice. He created these lungs, and believe me, he gave me a voice. You guys know that. He gave me a big mouth, and for a long time it wasn't blessed. Praise God, he changed it. I was so opinionated, everybody in town knew Kim had a big mouth. Until the Holy Ghost decided to just change it. And you've been the byproduct of what God can do with a big mouth. Because some of you, I didn't argue with you, I just said, no, I don't agree. And gave you what God's opinion was, to the best of my ability. When God released his Son into the earth, he did it by his Holy Ghost, which is the wind, the Ruach of God. He released his presence inside of Mary's womb. And guess what? She came from what kind of flesh? Well, what was her background? What was her ancestry from? Anybody got a clue? She was from the house of David. She was from the house of David. So her flesh came from the house of David. God had chosen a future husband for her. They were already legally married. And everybody knows that Luke chapter 1, 2, 3 will tell you all about that. And you don't need to go there. But even Joseph came from the house of David. Now, how many have had a house that wasn't, your family tree wasn't quite what you wanted it to be? You would have loved to trade in dad and mom and get a new set. One that you would have really respected and thought, oh my God, these are the kind of parents I would have loved to have. How many can say amen?
Amen.
I can remember, because you see, I wasn't brought up by my biological parents. So I had a lot of challenges in that area. And I can really remember, oh boy, I could have chosen several others that would have been a lot easier than these two. Why didn't they leave me in the original house until I got to know my brother? My brother is 18 months older than me. In fact, he and I were on the phone together this morning, and we were celebrating a victory with his youngest daughter yesterday. A mighty, mighty victory. A changed woman. Yes. He was invited to dinner at his youngest daughter's. His youngest daughter's going to turn 40. She has been what you could call the thorn in his side. And he would be the first to tell you, and she would tell you, yes, I was. And so, she loves the Lord. She has a wonderful man in her life. And they were invited to dinner there yesterday. She also is the mother of my brother's youngest grandson. And he said the bonus was that my oldest grandson came with me from the oldest daughter. And the whole family was celebrating the reality of Christ restoring this woman, a broken woman. A woman who was told that she'd never bear a child. A woman who was told that you have so much damage inside of you, you will never have a child. A woman who was told she needed back surgery because her injuries from other things made it impossible for her to even carry a child. And some of you have heard this story, but I think it's worthwhile because, you know, sometimes we think miracles have happened only for somebody else, but this young woman was to have a major back operation, and she calls me from the hospital after she's been in there for 3 days because they were trying to build her back up. And she says to me, I need prayer, Uncle, because surgery's going to happen on Friday, and this was like Wednesday. And I said, I don't know why, but I don't have that inner awareness that you're going to have this surgery. She says, well, by all means, you can tell me what you want, but I know, you know, they're scheduled and everything. And she says, there's a couple more tests they got to do. And she says, I said, well, you know, Diane, I don't know. I says, you and I are pretty close, you know. I says, I took you into that baptismal vault, and I remember you going down in the water. You're a new creation, but something else is going on. And she said, well, I don't know what it would be. And so we began to pray. And as I prayed, I remember saying some words that me didn't believe. And the very next day, she calls me in the early evening hours and says, I can't have the surgery. I'm pregnant by a week and a half to 10 days max. She says, how am I going to be able to bring this baby into the world? I can't even walk. I says, that's God's problem. That little boy is 8. A woman who could never have a baby had a baby. This woman, Mary, not supposed to have a baby yet, maybe 14 or 15. If you had a daughter at 14 and 15, would you want her to be expecting a baby? Not really. But you see, God chose the wildest things to wake us up. And I believe what he did with the family of David, which is what he was prompting me on this week. Why would I choose to be called the son of David? And I'll show you that in Luke chapter 20. You see, the son of David means that they had all the attributes of the flesh of the line of David. Would you like to have them as great-grandparents? Bathsheba. Yeah. And David. Great-great-grandparents. Oh, my. Wouldn't you be proud? Yeah. I mean, a womanizer. A guy who loses his first wife because the king takes the queen away from her, or the princess, gives her to other guys. Wonderful guy. Wouldn't you like him for a great-grandfather? Wouldn't you think he was the best that God could choose? Bathsheba, walking around without any clothes on in her simple little corner, and the king is pretty attractive from the high balcony. And they decide to get together and have a child. And she is still married, and she didn't cry out. Not bad for a granny, huh? Would you choose her? Would you put her weaknesses in your family tree? Oh, we can go back a little further. Naomi has a daughter-in-law, right? Ruth the Moabitess. Now, you wouldn't want her, after all. You were from the royal line. But she's also in the tree. What am I saying to you? Jesus chose the impossible to be born with, all those old weaknesses in his flesh, because guess what? Mary's flesh was imparted to his spirit. Huh, check it out. The father was the father of this baby, not Joseph. Yet, the example and the weaknesses of Joseph would have been imparted to him from David, yes? Come on. Are you guys asleep?
No.
Are you awake enough to realize that Joseph had the attributes of King David? Would he get angry like Saul? You know, Saul irritated David, and David irritated Saul. Uh-huh. Would you have them on your family tree when you fill out that doctor's form and they said, did your father have any weaknesses? Yeah, a few. He lived in a cave. Made off, he was nuts. To convince the neighbors to leave him alone. He played insanity for quite a while. That's part of my background. Yes? Would you like that in your family tree? Or would you kind of choose the ones you got? Maybe they're not so bad after all, huh? Maybe God did not miss the mark when he had you born of the ones that he chose for you. I can remember 1977, when my parents were both born again at a prayer meeting in a Catholic's room like this in a cellar of a church in Three Rivers. They both walked down and accepted Jesus as their Lord. And this kid cried for days, because that was an impossible miracle. You know, I was not at that point fully aware of the miracle that God had done. Today, I can tell you that the flesh of Jesus is interwoven in my mother's flesh. How many of you have at least one parent that's born again? Then the flesh of Jesus is interwoven in that family member. If they're not born again, if they're not understanding that they have a spirit, God is able to teach them, even on the other side. Even if they're in the heavenlies, God is able to release information to them. And they have an ability to say yes. You say, how can this be? No different than Mary. Let it be done according to your will and the way that you choose. There is a space of time between a person's death and their transitioning into that other place, that they have a time and a place to make decisions. And none of us know that except when someone dies, like Howard Pittman when he died, he let us know. He ministered to us many times. He was dead for a long time. And even as he was on the other side, he was making decisions, and he learned about you do make decisions as a spirit being. And those decisions can either seal your future with the Lord or seal your future with destruction. It's up to you. So I had to learn. Say, is it a place of suffering? No. I think it's a place of learning how to overcome. No different than it is now. And you will use the word the same way that you use it now to overcome. I remember God giving me a dream, an incredible dream at one point. And in that dream, someone that I had thought was in a very high spiritual place. In my opinion, they were way, way above me. They had so much more knowledge of the word. They could expound the scriptures, you know, zip, 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 and they would all be able to just be poured out of them. And I had them on a plateau. How many of you have ever had someone on a plateau? And then the Lord kind of threw the plateau out, you know, and just threw the stepladder right out of there. He brought them down. And in my dream, this person I had known for quite a few years, in fact, I would say close to 20. And so, in the dream, I saw myself going on a stepladder higher than they were. And I couldn't comprehend it. And the Holy Spirit said, you've passed them. Well, that was totally, totally unacceptable to my little skinny brain. I did. How did I do that? By making choices to humble yourself. How many know pride will hold you from being lifted up? So, I said, Lord, my understanding of what you're trying to tell me doesn't fit my theology. He said, well, change it. That individual that you thought was so high made some very serious choices, and they had knowledge of what they were doing. It's dangerous when someone has knowledge and makes a quality decision to go against God or even attack God's anointed. And that's serious business when they know what they're doing. See, if you don't know what you're doing and you're just a child of God, you have no idea what you're up to. Now, I know Joseph here. When he decided to say, wait a minute, I'm not taking this woman. Did God get upset? No. He sent what? He sent an angel in a dream. Oh, dreams? What for? Well, if he hadn't listened to that dream, would he have married and taken that woman to Bethlehem? Are dreams important? Would you take your pregnant bride that you've never slept with and take her to Bethlehem because of a dream? Rubber just met the road. Would you? Oh, God doesn't talk to me. Well, maybe he's spoken and you just bypassed him. Maybe he's still speaking to you right now. Linda, 1992, August. Your husband had a dream. He recorded the dream so that it could be expounded in 2007. Whoa! Joseph takes the bride, gets to Bethlehem. Baby's born. Another dream. Get that family out of here. Get that woman and that baby out of here. Now, I provided the finances. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Go to Egypt now. Until I tell you to return. Would you take this brand new baby? Would you now travel? I mean, you've already gone from Galilee, which is quite a distance on foot, I would say it would be like close to the upper part of Vermont, if you were living in this area, and you would have to drive down just about to Massachusetts to get to Bethlehem. So walk that distance and you'd get a clue, okay? Maybe not quite that far, but it gives you a better idea if you know you're familiar with this area. And you and I did that. You know how far it is. It's a long drive. Mm-hmm. It took us quite a few hours to get there. Two and a half, roughly?
At least.
Yeah. Okay? So when we got to Bethlehem, we were a little tired of riding. What am I saying to you? Now this guy has this dream. He got there. Another dream comes and take her and the baby to Egypt. Oh, yeah, right. Not bad going into your own neighborhood, but now you're going into a completely different country. No relatives, no friends, just a few dollars, and a dream. And I'll let you know when the king dies. That's pretty good stuff, right? What am I saying to you today? I'm trying to give you an understanding that you and I are no different than Joseph and Mary. And we have the Spirit of God in us. And we have Him talking to us. And we're not serious with what He gives us. This man was serious. And he obeyed. It couldn't have been easy. How many saw the movie, The Christmas Story? Came out last year. I think that's the first time I've ever seen a movie that was realistic, that I could really relate to. Marianne, what was your response? I thought you saw it.
Yes, just recently. I didn't see it last year.
Oh, you didn't see it last year, but you saw it recently. What was your response?
I was blown away at how beautiful it was.
Beautiful. Mm. What about yours?
Just beautiful, and there was a lot. A lot of things that we can take as example from, because they portrayed so beautiful, and it was just real.
It was real. Thank you. That's my response was, it is real. It is like a young woman would be, like a young father to be, that's not fathered this child, and all the war games in his mind, and the things that go on, and all the natural ways that we respond, and then the grace of God coming through in the midst of it all, and carrying them to the next level. You know, what I'm trying to prepare today is an understanding that you and I can make it. Whatever level that you and I are at, we can make it. And all we have to do, as best we can, is to make that quality decision not to give in, not to give up. That's your winning factor. Lord, I'm not going to give up. I don't care how much it hurts. And I'm sure this young woman, when she was giving birth to this baby in a manger, of all places, was no fun. The rejection and the lack of family around her, her mom, her maybe grandmother, and those that would have assisted in the child's birth. By the way, do you think she knew then that she was going to have to travel all those hours just before the birth because of some legal document by some Roman governor who got a real idea that we got to register you guys? I'm sure they were happy about being from Bethlehem. Yeah, right. Another problem with King David's family. Why couldn't they be from Galilee? Ugh. Should have been born in a different house. Does that sound like you and me? Born from a different family tree. Mm-mm. You know, the Holy Spirit, as He was talking to me about this, why Jesus had to be the son of David. You know, David gives you a real overview of human nature and how to overcome every flaw and every weakness. If you read the Psalms and declare the solution, because he's always declaring the problems, amen? I mean, you read them, 150 of them. He did a good job. Yet he always had a place in that prayer to be able to say, but God. But God. You have a plan. You have something awesome. You will take care of my enemies. You will overwhelm them. And I will walk with you. Even in the midst of my pain, I will walk with you. Even if in the midst of my sickness, I will walk with you. Even if the loss of a child, I will walk with you. Even at the loss of his bride. You know, if you ever considered, here he is, a young man, he downs Goliath, he gets the prize, the princess. I mean, that's a pretty high position to come up as a teenager. Right, Josh? Okay. Now, the king gives him all the privileges, and he introduces his own son to become his what? His friend and his spiritual brother. Now, in case you forgot, David didn't do too well with his brothers. Didn't do so hot with his dad either. In fact, after all, he's not even considered when Samuel's coming over. I mean, you know, talk about a leftover. Oh, yeah, we have one more. He's out in the woods there. He's taking care of the sheep. He smells. We didn't want him in the house. Not to upset the prophet. Well, come on. Isn't that what you kind of would think about yourself? You know, why didn't they invite me to come? You know, here's the prophet Samuel coming. I mean, that's pretty good, right? That's like saying to a Catholic person, the Pope's coming over. Have your family ready, okay? And I'm not laughing at the Pope. I'm telling you something. This was a high honor, okay? And to leave the youngest one in the woods. I mean, you know, I'm sure he was celebrating. And he was so happy to be there with his sheep. Get a clue. David was tested. He was being tested to become the best king. Why? Because he was going to have a spiritual son, and his name would be Jesus. So the attributes and the weaknesses and all the things that were in David's flesh, Jesus overcame. Every one of them, he overcame. He was able to say no to the Bathshebas in his life. Come on, don't let anybody kid you. He was a human young man. He had flesh, just like you and just like me. And he wasn't dead. He was born fully alive. Scripture says he was tested in every way, like you and me. Okay? Girls, if there's a very handsome young man walking across the street, if you don't look, you're dead. Boys, it's the same thing. You're going to look. Are you going to say yes, or are you going to say, she belongs to somebody else? Hopefully you'll say she belongs to somebody else. She might be somebody's daughter. What am I saying? Jesus overcame. He had weaknesses, and he overcame. He says he had infirmities, meaning sickness and disease tried to attach itself to him. And he was able to what? Overcome. Scripture in the book of Revelation says we are to be overcomers. Okay. in my flesh, I'm usually partial to self-pity. Now, I know you guys don't have problems with that, but it visits with me quite often. Self-pity. Feeling sorry for the position I'm in with the parents that I inherited that I didn't want. Okay? With the family tree that doesn't make sense for me. After all, I should have had a good family tree, like Jesus did. See, that's what God was trying to tell me today. Talk to them. Let them know. The Son of the Most High had to overcome. And guess what? The Son of the Most High is alive where? Inside of me and inside of you. Will I make it? Yes. Will he guide me? Yes. Will he give me dreams and visions and words of knowledge? Yes. Thursday night. Now let me turn it around. Wednesday, middle of the afternoon. My wife calls me, and I was running on some errands, and I had just returned something that I needed to be returning at a store, and my little cell phone rings, and she says, "Where are you?" I says, "Well, I'm at Kohl's." She says, "Can you come home real quick?" And I said, "Yes, I can come home real quick. I'll just transform and leave what I'm doing, and I will be home in a few minutes." She says, "Well, our grandson is weeping, very, very discouraged. He needs to have you come." So I got home as quickly as I could and went directly to his house, and my wife was already there, and anointed him with oil and prayed with him and hugged him, and to encourage one that hasn't been able to work for many, many weeks. It's over 7 months now. Financial picture is horrible. The debts are mounting and the screaming is in process. We talked about Jesus, and I said to him, "Would you consider maybe coming to church?" "When, Pat?" I said, "How about tomorrow night?" He says, "Okay, I'll think about it. It's okay." So on Thursday afternoon, I said, "Well, did you make a decision if you want to go to church or not?" He says, "Yeah, I want to go." So we went to Dale's church on Thursday night to celebrate Jesus. Sat in the second row like you, girl. You know who was the proudest grandfather in that place? You know who had a taste of heaven? You know who celebrated Christmas a week early? On our way home, we talked about the first time that this young boy was exposed to Christians. And as we drove home, we talked about his very first encounter with these crazy kids. One of them was Matthew Jones, which became his best buddy. And we were at a youth conference for 3 days in Rhode Island. And we talked about being born again and not understanding, and then running with our flesh and not understanding, and knowing that Jesus is there, but wondering if he cares. And when we got home, I anointed him and gave him a hug and said, "Lord, I want more. I'm not going to tell you that I want something different. I don't know what's best for this boy. I don't know where he is going to grow. But I do know this. He has been placed in a spiritual jail, in a physical jail, because he can't walk. He's got an injury in his body that he can't change. He's on painkillers every time you turn around. He's 24 years old and has a brand new baby girl. Out of the most joyful time in his life, the most difficult space physically was to be told by the specialist in the University of Massachusetts that you can't work and you shouldn't work and you need a hip operation and you can't have it for at least 20 more years. Oh, well, if I was part of maybe the other family instead of this Bergeron family. I got this weakness I don't know where, and I got this injury I don't know where, and it happened when I was a boy, and through no fault of my own, and this hip didn't grow like the other one did, and I'm lopsided, I get discouraged, and I overeat, and then on the way home he tells me, well, my back is sore too. But he had already made an agreement with me. I said, I won't ask for prayer for you unless you let me know. I don't want that, Pep. I just want to be there. I want to just be there. I says, okay, we'll let God take care of that then. So I wasn't going to make him. I says, only thing I can tell you is if somebody has a word of knowledge for you, just receive it, because they'll come to you, and it won't be my orchestration. I will not put you on the spot. I won't do that to him. He's under so much pressure, mentally and physically. He doesn't need a grandfather that's going to be one of those wonderful Christians that's going to push you into the kingdom. No thanks. He's already bowed to Jesus. It's just the manifestation of the next level that's now coming to life. How is God going to use him? I've got a few pictures in my brain that have come several times. I've had a few dreams. I'm going to wait for God to do it. Because you see, it took how many years? From 1992 to 2007, for one dream to get exposed. My friend Chuck, I wish he would have told me about the dream. I don't even remember him telling me about that particular dream. And I'm in it. Can you imagine what a friend not even telling me about a dream that he had about me? And I'm glad he didn't. What am I saying to you today? Is Christmas going to be like what it was for somebody else? Is Jesus going to manifest himself in a new way inside of you that you will taste of his freedom? Will you also taste of his strength to overcome? Will this communion time today change you from what you were? And be happy with who you are. Would you bow your heads, please? I want you to take a step of faith with me. Say, Lord Jesus, out of all the families in the earth, you became the Son of David. And you inherited all kinds of fleshy stuff. I don't know about me. How much came from my mama's side of the family? Or how much came from my papa's side of the family? But some of it stinks. And I don't want it. So I'm asking you now. If I've been judgmental against my mom. If I've been judgmental against my dad. It was God's choice to release his Holy Spirit. And a tiny spirit into my mama's womb that I would get blessed with her and my father's flesh. It was God's choice for me to be born with those backgrounds, those weakened areas. And you chose them for me. And here I have been telling you I don't like it. Forgive me. My father, and my mother
are chosen by God.
And if I've been lawless and angry about the ones he chose for me, I lay it down on your altar today. I ask you now to set me free so that I don't get angry anymore about their weaknesses, about their bad choices, because it's giving me an opportunity to be the overcomer that you've called me to be. Lord Jesus, all this hurt and this mental torment that I have been angry with for years, I lay it down today. Have mercy on me. And when I come to the table and I take this bread, I'll remember Jesus. He came from the tree and the family of David. He was the son of David. What about me? I want you to lift your right hand to the Lord. Those of you who are listening to this, I want you to do the same in the Spirit and say, Lord Jesus, I accept your blood on my family tree. I will no longer condemn my fathers or mothers and their background. Their heritage will be more than satisfactory for me, because inside of me, the Holy Spirit will help me to overcome every weakness in this family tree. It's going to be done by the blood of the Lamb and the words of my testimony. It's not an accident. My background is not an accident. My weaknesses are not an accident. They were lodged in me for a reason. And it is for me to declare my freedom today. Would you stand, please? Romans 5:9. Try it on. Romans 5:9. I am justified.
I am justified
by the blood of the Lamb.
By the blood of the Lamb.
In the courts of heaven.
In the courts of heaven.
I am justified.
I am justified.
And so is my family tree.
And so is my family tree.
Justified by the blood.
Justified by the blood.
Look at your neighbor. Say, you're justified by the blood of Jesus. And God's not finished with us yet.
God's not finished with us yet.
Amen?
Amen.
And amen. Would you give him a clap offering? We need to celebrate. We need to celebrate his reality. We need to realize that when Jesus overcame, he overcame as an example that we can overcome. Amen? And really, in thinking about all the things that this particular communion service, I pray, has done for you, I'd like to just share with you a little tiny bit from Luke 20 to close it up. And I'm using the Amplified, and verse 1 says, one day, as Jesus was instructing the people in the temple and preaching the good news, the chief priests and the scribes came up, and the elders, etc. And they said to him, tell us by what authority you are doing these things. And it goes on. Then it says in verse 38, as he was teaching, now he is not the God of the dead, but of the living. For to him all men are alive, whether in the body or out of the body. And they are alive, not dead, unto him, in definite relationship to him. Verse 39. And some of the scribes replied, teacher, you have spoken well and expertly, so that there is no room for blame. For they did not dare to question him anymore. But he asked them, how can people say that the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, is David's son? Isn't that awesome? For David himself says in the book of Psalms, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Psalms 110, verse 1. So David calls him Lord. How, then, is he his son? And I pray that what I shared with you will give you an understanding that the Holy Spirit gives you a new understanding of your heritage today. Gives you an awareness of why he would choose to place you in the family that he did. Not to get you upset with your parents, but to overwhelm the heavens with mercy. To overwhelm the reality that Jesus had to do the same. I'm sure he must have said, oh my God, look at this background stuff I've got to deal with. That was part of my problem. Okay? This background stuff that I've got to deal with, I mean, weaknesses. Whew. My father, biological, had his first heart attack at 50-something years old. I think I don't think he was even 60. He weighed approximately double what I weigh. And he was in a hospital in Montreal for I can't tell you how long. And when he came home, I can remember going to see him. And all they would feed him is water, basically. It was broth, you know, because he had to lose so much weight. He said the amount of damage that he had done to his heart was really, really bad. So my mother, biological, took care of him. She did such a good job that she died at 73 from a heart attack, thinking that she was the healthy one. At 39, one of my biological brothers had a coronary thrombosis. 3/4 of his heart exploded away in downtown New York. And the enemy began to tell me that I was going to do the same. Even though he was about 12 years younger than me. I mean, older than me. So when I got to be 39, guess what I had? You would not believe the number of symptoms in my chest. How many times I had pain down my arm. I would literally get paralyzed. My throat, I couldn't even breathe because the enemy was attacking my throat. And he was telling me that all my arteries were blocked and blah, 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 blah. And guess what? I'm 68. I'm still here. Okay? So what does that say? I have overcome by the words of my testimony. By taking the word of God, saying to the enemy, look, you did this to my brother. By the way, he died at 44 with 5 children. No fun. If you'd like to go on the other side, most of my other family members have died from cancer and MS and all that other stuff. Guess what tree I'm from? I'm from the Holy Ghost tree. So would you please do me a favor? Look at your neighbor and say, you're not from the old tree, you're from the Holy Ghost tree. Amen?
Amen.
And your fruit are going to be bearing fruit for eternity.
Your fruit are going to be bearing fruit.
Holy Ghost fruit.
Holy Ghost fruit.
Amen?
Amen.
And amen. I wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to thank you all for all the wonderful ways that you have blessed this church in this past year. And I'm looking forward to next Sunday. We made a quality decision not to have a service on Tuesday because of the circumstances of families. And we want you to really have a wonderful, wonderful time on Tuesday night with the Lord's family. That is your family, the one he chose for you. Be obedient. If there's anything in the meantime, just let us know. Stay in prayer for one another. Now, I know that there's an awesome testimony, so I want to kind of give my sister a chance. You want to come up?
Okay, I don't, everybody knows that I had struggled with some melanoma cancer years back. Well, I had gone to the doctors just recently, and they found a lump on my left breast. The doctor was really concerned. It was solid. She said that she wanted me to just see a surgeon at this point. Now, things in my life, in our marriage, in our relationship, everything has just been completely chaotic and not very good. Seed of doubt had already been planted and had just been working straight through my life. So this just added to everything. So the enemy was really working there. So when I heard this, it brought back the cancer issue again. I was scared, obviously. The doctor made an appointment for a mammogram and an ultrasound. However, she couldn't get me in for at least, it was 2-3 weeks. In that 2-3 weeks, it was pretty much miserable. I mean, it was miserable at home. It was miserable everywhere. I didn't want to come to church. I didn't want to be at home. I didn't want to be anywhere. That state of doubt was just every part of my life. It had been as far as the kids, it was with my marriage, it was financially. It had planted and spread everywhere. I was angry with God. I had felt, come on, you had already healed me of this, and now I have to do this all over again. This is not what you had promised. You healed me. This should be done and over with. Period. I shouldn't have to walk this road again. So I was angry. And in that anger, obviously came more problems at our house. Obviously. Through that, I reached out to a couple of the sisters in the church who have been wonderful and have been praying. And a lot of you guys, all of you, have been great for praying for our family and just really holding us up in prayer. Thank you all, because we wouldn't be where we are right now without your prayers and just really holding us in prayer constantly in this last couple of months. So thank you. We're great. We appreciate it. Anyway, it came to about a week before, and finally I had just broken. I was like pleading. Now I've gone through the anger part. Now I'm pleading with God. Please don't make me go through this again. You know, the pleading stage, you know. The trying to justify, what did I do this time? You know, the whole thing that you go through. Finally, it was just, it broke. I was like, Lord, do what you're going to do at this point. You know, it's in your hands. There's nothing I can do about it anyway. And Rick went to the doctors with me. And, I went in and had the mammogram done. Now I'm sitting in there by myself, and they did the mammogram the first time. They came back in, and they were like, we have to do it again. So I asked the woman, I'm like, why is there a problem? Of course, she can't give me any information, or she refuses to. So I said, okay. So we did it again. She's like, all right, now we're going to go do an ultrasound. Now, an ultrasound at that point hadn't been scheduled. So I was like, oh, why are we doing an ultrasound? She said, well, the doctor here wants to see an ultrasound. I said, okay. Now I'm worried. I'm like, can you explain to me why there's an ultrasound being done? And she was like, no, I really can't give you any information. The doctor will talk to you when the testing is all done. I said, okay. So I went from one room to the other. Now, they did the ultrasound. They leave the room, and they come back in with the doctor. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, thank you. Because now, how many doctors come in to look at an ultrasound? The only time they do that is when it's really bad, you know? So I'm thinking, this is great. Thank you, Lord. You know, I'm really angry. So I said to the doctor, could you explain to me what is going on since nobody will tell me anything? What did you find? And he said, this isn't what you think. I said, well, I don't know what to think because nobody will tell me anything. I said, you've done 2 mammograms and 2 ultrasounds and nobody will tell me anything. And he said, no, it's just the opposite. He says, your doctor was very specific. She gave me how big it was, exactly where it is, and I can't find it. He said, this doesn't happen. He said, so now I have to be thorough about this and make sure that I'm not missing it. He said, because it's not there. And I was like, oh, Lord, thank you. So it is gone. So praise God. You know, even in the midst of my anger and my doubt, God was still going, okay, you know what? I'm going to show you that I kept my word. You know, even when you didn't keep yours, I kept mine. So praise God.
Amen.